I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. Alzheimer's, already affecting 5 million people in the U.S., is poised to become what they're calling the world's greatest epidemic. No wonder a whole generation is wondering, can it happen to me? There is now hope and help on the horizon with a book by Dr. Gary Small and Gigi Vorgan. It's called The Alzheimer's Prevention Program. Keep your brain healthy for the rest of your life. It's now out in an updated paperback edition. It gives me a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Gary Small into the WVXU studios. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Well, let's begin by defining Alzheimer's, because I think it's very important. People tend to mix Alzheimer's and dementia and senility all together. What are the distinctions between those afflictions of the brain?
So dementia is what we used to call senility. It's basically impairment in memory, other mental abilities, to the extent that a person needs help from others. Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia, and it has a gradual onset, a gradual progression. In the brain, we see tiny abnormal protein deposits that we think attack the memory and thinking parts of the brain. But Alzheimer's disease is not the only cause of dementia. You can get dementia from small strokes in the brain, or from a medication imbalance, or even depression can look like dementia. So I think where people get confused is thinking that, well, I only have dementia, that's good. It's not so good, especially
right,
if it's from small strokes. Now, if it were from a medication side effect, we might be able to cure it. But in most cases of dementia are not curable, although we can help with the symptoms.
In reading the book, I learned about amyloid plaques and tau tangles in the brain, which lead to Alzheimer's. And tell me if I interpreted this wrong, but we all have these plaques and tangles in our brain as we age, but not all of us get Alzheimer's. Is that correct?
That's correct. And in fact, these tiny abnormalities build up in the brain in nearly everyone. And it's only when they reach a threshold level that they cause problems. Now, whether it's really the cause or an effect, we're not quite sure. And in fact, in the Alzheimer's Prevention Program, we talk a lot about brain inflammation that may be an underlying cause. And many of the Alzheimer's prevention strategies are actually anti-inflammatory strategies, getting a good night's sleep, physical exercise, consuming omega-3 fats from fish, nuts, or flaxseed. These are all anti-inflammatory strategies.
Well, I know many of us worry as we have momentary lapses, senior moments we call as we age. Many of my friends going through, that was a senior moment. And everyone's always worried that they're getting Alzheimer's. How many people actually will develop Alzheimer's and or dementia?
Age is the greatest risk factor. By age 65 or older, the risk is about 10%. By 85 or older, it can be as high as 40 or even 50%, depending on the study. So clearly, that's a problem as we age. Now, what we know is that genetics is not the only thing that determines your brain health as you age. In fact, for the average person, only a third of that comes from genetics. So non-genetic factors like exercise, mental and physical exercise, diet, stress management, all these can help protect your brain cells, not cure the disease, but possibly stave off the onset of symptoms by perhaps years. And that's really what the program is about, is learning this brain-healthy lifestyle in addition to learning memory techniques that help you compensate for the middle age pauses and senior moments.
You talk briefly in the Alzheimer's Prevention Program about well worriers, where you have the boomer generation coming along, and I must confess, I've had it as well when I have a bit of a memory lapse, can't remember that person's name or something, wondering, boy, am I, on my way to Alzheimer's. But many people are worried, but unnecessarily so.
I think so. I think particularly if you have a family history of Alzheimer's, these senior moments or middle-age pauses become anxiety-provoking. Now, what you find when you start reading the book is you learn simple memory techniques that help compensate for this. And if you can improve as a result of that, that's a good sign. But also, it's important not to worry about your memory, because if you're worrying about it, you're going to perform worse on a memory test.
You'll be stressed out about leads to some issues as it goes along. Well, let's talk about a little bit of the prevention. You've touched on it, but there's been a lot of research that's been being developed in the last few years since the hard copy version of the Alzheimer's prevention program came out. You mentioned sleep. Sleep is a very important factor for good brain health.
If you get a good night's sleep, your mind is clearer the next day, you're more alert, you're more focused, and also that inflammation is better. I mean, you're going to be more limber and you're going to feel more energy. So that's critically important. And one way to make sure you get a good night's sleep is to get enough physical exercise. Also, a great strategy to protect your brain. In fact, the scientific evidence about physical exercise protecting the brain is probably the most compelling of any of the evidence. And you don't have to become a triathlete. All you have to do is walk briskly for 15 minutes a day, and you will lower your risk for Alzheimer's.
You lay out a 7-day program to jumpstart your brain in the Alzheimer's Prevention Program book, and it is an equal balance of exercise and diet as well. You mentioned the omega-3s and fish and the like, but diet is a big factor when it comes to brain health as well.
It really is. And omega-3s are only part of the diet. I mean, we have to really try to control our body weight. Obesity and overweight is epidemic throughout the world, and we know that it increases risk for Alzheimer's. The good news is when people start losing weight, their memory actually improves. So your brain is resilient. If you treat it right, it will repair itself and you'll perform better. So we think about the fish oils is important. Antioxidant fruits and vegetables protect the brain from wear and tear of aging, and trying to minimize the refined sugars and processed foods, which aren't good for brain health.
I noticed as well that you one note I saw in the dietary suggestions in the Alzheimer's Prevention Program was don't eat pasta more than once a week. Why is pasta bad for you?
Well, you know, these are, they're not hard set rules. And
true,
if you love pasta, you know, we always say, you know, if your diet is too severe, you're not going to stay on it. But I think, you know, too many carbs is a problem that many of us experience, and we're not eating the right types of carbohydrates. And again, those fresh fruits and vegetables are antioxidant. We talk about some of the research we've done, say, with polyphenol antioxidant pomegranates.
Mm-hmm.
And we find it helps memory in a short-term trial. We're doing more extensive trials with the extracts. There's a whole section in the book on dietary supplements because people are so interested in this. And we try to set the record straight, separating the science from the science fiction when it comes to vitamins and supplements.
Well, what is the most misinterpreted fact about Alzheimer's or preventing Alzheimer's? What do people get wrong the most?
Well, I think one of the things is they take the term prevention to mean cure. And if you, we can't do that. But if you set a more modest goal of delaying the onset of symptoms, I think there we really can do something. And in the book, we model it. We show how much people might expect if they start walking briskly every day or if they start changing their diet. And it adds up. For an individual, it could be as much as 4 years of delayed onset of symptoms. And other scientists have looked at this with the population, and they estimate that if we could just have a 25% reduction in risk factors, we might see 3 million fewer cases of Alzheimer's in the U.S.
Wow. Quite impressive. And I noticed with the 7-day program, this is not something that takes a lot of time. You in each day of the program, you give a time limit or an expected time investment, and really you're talking about less than an hour a day.
Probably closer to about a half hour a day, depending on what you're doing now and the amount of time you spend exercising. But I think that was important. We really wanted to have an impact. We wanted to take the new science, make it clear to people, but take it a step further, create a practical strategy so people can apply the science to their everyday life. And so the 7-day program is a way of doing that, where we detail the foods you ought to be eating, the exercises you should be doing, and you see how particularly the memory exercises build up over the week, and we provide assessment tools so you can see your progress. It's a little bit like going on a diet and losing a few pounds, And that motivates you to continue, because 1 week is not going to be enough to change your brain.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's about creating brain healthy habits.
And so the 7-day program provides the foundation for you to build on and incorporate in your day-to-day life.
And what we find is that people start feeling better, they're motivated, and they continue for the long haul. It's really gratifying.
Dr. Gary Small, the author of the Alzheimer's Prevention Program, Keep Your Brain Healthy for the Rest of Your Life, now out in paperback in an updated edition. He wrote it with Gigi Vorkin. You can find it where books are sold and find a link to learn more about the book and the doctor's work at our website, wvxu.org. Well, thank you, Doc, for stopping by this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you.